Welcome back to Challenges of Faith Radio Program. I'm Gary McCants. Thank you for joining. I'd like to acknowledge God and you, our listeners. Our guest today is Pamela Walk, author of a new book, Bridge of Love, 30 True Stories of Faith in Action. Pamela, welcome to Challenges of Faith Radio Program. Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. And how is your mom?
My mom's doing pretty good, yeah. She's out there with the aide right now. She's going to do the bike in the living room. Got a little stationary bike they put her on, yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Pamela, what were your aspirations while growing up?
You know, I'm kind of a funny person. I had a lot of things I wanted to do when I was growing up. I wanted to be, this is crazy, I wanted to be Miss America. I wanted to be an author. I wanted to be a wife and a mother. Wanted to be a teacher. Physical therapy, actually, which I ended up becoming, was not on the list, but I think that's because I wasn't familiar with physical therapy at that time. You know, it was just, it wasn't a huge, huge field back then. And, I don't know, just a lot of different things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right. What were your fields of studies in college and why those particular fields?
So I took kind of a very weird route. When I graduated from high school, I was always very good scholastically, or not, you know, academically, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And my mom's like, well, why don't you take nursing? And I thought, I don't know if I want to be a nurse. And she's like, well, I'll just take it and see how it goes. Well, after three semesters, I realized this is not what I want to do. I don't like emergency situations, and I just did not think that this is, you know, where I wanted to go. So I changed my major, and I had one semester left in a two-year program for my RN. So because I had three semesters in, I passed the LPN boards, licensed practical nurse boards. And then I never worked as an LPN because, again, it just wasn't what I wanted to do. I did work as an aide for a while at a hospital, and I worked in healthcare somewhat, but I did not ever go back to my RN. I really think I was too young. I was like 18, 19 at the time, and I just wasn't ready to be an RN and, you know, have a whole floor of patients and you're responsible for all those people. It's a lot of responsibility, and I give credit, a lot of credit to nurses and doctors because that really is a huge responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so then I ended up transferring from Niagara County Community College to UB, University of Buffalo, and one of my friends made a comment because I was just taking liberal arts. And she said, you know, Pam, you're so good in accounting. You know, it comes so easy to you. It really didn't. It's just that I study hard. And I thought, well, maybe I should be an accountant because, you know, I wasn't a Christian back then. I didn't pray about it. And I thought, well, you know, they dress nice, they're secure jobs, and you make decent money. So I thought, okay. So I went from nursing major to accounting. And I graduated with my bachelor's in accounting. I passed the CPA, and I worked in it for 4 years. I worked for a big eight firm back then. I think it's a big five now, international accounting firm. I worked for the Marriott Corporation doing corporate audit, and then I worked for the New York State Tax Department doing income tax audit for 2.5 years. And even though I could do the job, that wasn't the issue. The issue was I found it incredibly boring. I'm a very talkative person, and I'm also a little bit on the high energy side.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had struggled sitting still for a long time. So I ended up, my mom had fallen down a flight of stairs at the house. She had passed out from a dental procedure, and I started taking her for physical therapy. And I thought, you know, I wonder if I became a therapist because it was kind of middle ground. It wasn't being a doctor or a nurse where you're very responsible for all, you know, these people's welfare versus you know, that kind of like the boring part of the accounting. And I thought I really missed the hospital setting. So lo and behold, I went back for physical therapy and everybody thought I was crazy because they said, you've got a really good job. You've got a good career in accounting. And I said, I get it, but it's just not what I want to do for the next, you know, 30, 40, 50 years of my life. So I went back to UB again, University of Buffalo, graduated with my bachelor's in physical therapy. And then I've been a therapist for the past 28 years. backtrack a little bit, and I had become a believer in Jesus about 20 years ago. And when that happened, my world completely changed. And I really started to see my patients from a different viewpoint. I didn't just see them from a physical standpoint of, oh, you had a stroke or you had a head injury or you had a shoulder injury, but rather I started looking at them as their soul. Like, gee, I wonder what they believe. I wonder if they know Jesus is their Savior. And when that happened to me, my direction of what I wanted to do with my life started to change. So I ended up quitting my job at Buffalo General Hospital and moving down to Dallas, Texas. And I went to Dallas Theological Seminary. I continued to work as a physical therapist when I was down there, but I was going for my master's in Christian education. And it took me a couple years, and that's when I started getting into mission trips and different things like that. And I ended up moving back to Buffalo, New York, because my mom was having falls, and I was in a relationship with a guy that we were kind of long distance from here, and I didn't know what was going to happen with that. So I ended up moving back to Buffalo. And since then, I worked as a physical therapist at a trauma hospital here in Buffalo. And then I had to retire in November of 2021 because of a huge medical issue that had happened to me. So that's kind of, I don't know if that catches you up with a little bit of my life.
Yes, so, yes it does, but I'm going to slow it down and go back a little bit and then bring you to where you just shared.
Yeah.
All right, so you're now out in the real world of life. You're living or you're existing. Tell us about, did you enjoy modeling?
You know what, that's one of those things when I was younger, I always thought, oh, I want to model. And I got the opportunity when I was in my late 20s. There was an ad in the newspaper for models. They were having a contest with different age groups. So I thought, oh, I'm too old to do that. I did do a little bit of modeling when I was like 17, 18. But I needed a steady job. I mean, I was paying for all of my college education myself. And so when I saw the ad, I thought, you know what? I'm not going to tell anybody, and I'm just going to go and try out. So I actually brought my mom with me. She's the only one that came. And I won. I won my category. So I got to get a model, modeling contract. I had pictures done in Toronto. I started classes that they paid for. And then I started working as a model and doing a lot of bridal shows and promos at businesses. And I was on the cover of a bridal magazine for Buffalo. And I enjoyed it to an extent. But you know what's really funny? Sometimes you think you want something, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you get it, it's like, I actually liked being a physical therapist more than a model because I was helping people. And I was really helping people, physically and in different ways. And I felt more reward, I guess, from that than, hey, look at me. I'm dressed up. I'm in the glamour, the light. Look at me. And I just didn't like it as much. So it showed me it was a bit superficial. And, obviously there's need for people to do all different careers, but I saw it more as superficial after I started doing it. And I realized that my heart was really for helping people and doing things like that as opposed to, look at me, I'm in the spotlight and I'm wearing this beautiful dress. So
The reason, Pamela, for these questions, there are listeners. There's somebody around the globe that's listening that started off with the same or similar aspirations. And they may not be at the crossroad of making that decision, but you're helping them out because you're sharing, hey, I started off with this dream. Hey, I end up doing this, that, and this. And, hey, let me share why I didn't pursue it. Let me share why I pursued this. That was
right.
The reason of the question. How and why did you become involved in wild dating or parties and the occult?
Well, I think when I was like 18, 19, I had stopped going to church, probably 18 years old. I had gone to a church, a denominational church, and I believed that God existed and that Jesus did die on the cross, but that was it. Like, I saw him as a historical figure. So I was just kind of living the life of my friends and the rest of the world. They went out drinking, they went out partying, and I, again, was more of a social extrovert. So I just got into that crowd. And, I never did drugs, or smoked, but I did go out partying a lot at night, you know, drinking shots, that whole thing. And I had so much energy, I would be out till 2-3 in the morning and then go to work, and I'd be fine. But it, honestly, it was very, it was kind of a lonely life, because even though I was with people, you know, you were always looking for something better, just looking for something, like, no contentment, always looking for something better. And, you know, guys, the whole thing. And the occult started, I don't even know, I think I was in high school, and I had no idea that this stuff is really, like, you know, satanic. And I started writing, like, this horoscope column just for fun. And then I ended up going to Lilydale, which is a big community of fortune tellers here in New York State. And I went there a couple times. I also did, I had some tarot cards. And I used to dress up. My birthday's Halloween. So I used to dress up in these crazy outfits. You know, some of them were not so, you know, some of them were kind of innocent, you know, like Little Bo Peep or something. And then other ones were like a she-devil or something. And I just got into that, though, looking at horoscopes and doing all these things. And it wasn't until after I became a believer, I had just become a new believer, and I'm driving down the road, and it's in my book, Bridge of Love. I was driving down the road, and I hear this preacher talking about 2 weeks before Halloween on how, you know, God doesn't want us to be involved in the occult, and that if we want to know things about our life or he wants to guide us, we should go to his word, the Bible. And I heard that, and I was just like, wow, I had no idea those things were sin. So I went home immediately that night. I went into the basement of the apartment I lived in Cheektowaga, New York, and I threw all that stuff out in the garbage. And it's funny because, you know, when you obey God, sometimes you see these rewards right away. Sometimes you may never see them, and sometimes you might not see them till heaven, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that night when I threw all that stuff out, I come into my living room and I sit down, and I was tired. It was 11 o'clock at night, and I flip the TV on, and who's on? Kirk Cameron. Now, I did not know. I knew Kirk Cameron used to be on Growing Pains, and I had heard him speak, or not speak, I had heard him, you know, many times on the sitcom, but I had no idea that he had become an evangelist. So him, he was there, Ray Comfort, and they had this ministry, Living Waters, and they were talking about sharing the gospel. And he was demonstrating sharing the gospel. And I literally felt like this, I want to say felt, but it really is true, like this nerve go off me, like, I want you to do that, Pam. Like the Lord wanted me to do that. And I was like, what? And I'm like, wait a minute, God, it's always between you and me, not you, me, and other people. Well, that's what got me started, because I kept getting verses about, you know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and to go into all the world and share the gospel. And so little by little, boom, I started sharing the gospel. And I haven't stopped, because the gospel is the good news, and it's great news. You know, that Jesus died on the cross for us, and for those who repent, turn from their sins, turn from their disbelief, and believe in him, that they will have eternal life, you know, in heaven. And also here on earth, he's with you through the Holy Spirit. And that's like the greatest gift you can ever receive, even more than physical healing or anything. It's just the greatest gift. He is the greatest gift.
Amen. Now, going back, listeners, you're hearing Pamela start off with her aspirations. You hear her talk about auditing and the various firms and entities. You hear her talk about the why she went into physical therapy. You hear her talk about the nursing and the collegiate world and the partying world. You just heard her share about the occultic activity and how she learned that which she was dabbling in from the spiritual standpoint was actually what God instructs us not to. But the question now is, Pamela, why were you persistently seeking answers about God before you accepted him into your life?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what initially happened was, when I was still living at home, I was 23 years old, and I was visiting my boyfriend's parents. I was over there with him, and I got home at like midnight, and I walk in the door, and I could see the light from the TV on in the basement. We had a family room down there. And I walked down there, and it was tragic. I found my father dead in the basement in his chair. And I let out a bloody scream, and my mother, who was upstairs sleeping, we had the ambulance driver lives right across the road. So he came rushing over and he said he had been gone for like 2 hours. And it was just a horrifying experience. And what happened, I was, like I said, I was about 23. So you would think I started having questions about what happens when you die. You know, do you go to heaven? Do you just lay there in the ground? Like, I started really having a lot of questions. And you would think growing up, at least, you know, I had some sort of foundation going to a church when I was younger that I would pursue God in the Bible, but I did not. Instead, I went to our local library and I took out lots of books on all different religions. You know, reincarnation, Shirley MacLaine, the white light, like all these different things that got me nowhere. So I would read these books and it would actually get me more upset. And I had no peace about it. So that went on for a few years, you know, me just kind of thinking about this whole thing. And then, and I was still in the party scene. And then in the meantime, this guy, this man asked me, I started dating him, and he asked me to marry him. And I said, you know, I always wanted to get married. That was kind of like on my list of things I wanted to do. And I thought to myself, how do I know if I love you? Because I had had a lot of boyfriends, and either I had broken up with them or they had broken up with me. And I thought, how do I know if I really love you? Like, what is love? And everybody, my friends at the time were like, well, if you don't know, he's not the right one. I said, but that's not my personality. I mean, look at my jobs or my careers. I switched how many times? I thought, that's really not my personality. And then I thought, you know what? When I was a little girl, I got a Bible. And on the cover, it said, God is love. So I thought, I wonder if I open up that Bible, God will tell me what love is. So that's what I did. I sat on my steps in the apartment in Chickawaga, and I kept reading and reading. And I started in Genesis. I'm not saying I would recommend that. I'd probably start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, especially John. But I started at the beginning. And I kept reading and reading and reading. And then I started looking for a church because I was farther from my family's house than the church we went to when I was younger. So I started looking for a church up by where I lived, and I would check off churches that I would go to. And they were fine, but nothing was really hitting me. It was the same denomination that I grew up going to. And then somebody said, why don't you try this non-denominational Bible church? It's called the Chapel at Cross Point. And so I thought, well, what's that? And they're like, well, it's just plain Christian. They use the Bible. So I started going there, and I saw these people walking in with their Bibles. I thought, wow, they really use those things? And because at the church I went to, they really didn't. It was like first lesson, second lesson, gospel, and then leave the church. Like it wasn't real deep. So I see these people walking with their Bibles, and the pastor was really preaching about how the Bible applies to your life now, not just 2,000 years ago. You know, like for instance, Noah, you know, there was never a drop of rain in sight. But he obeyed God and he prospered. Him and his family were saved from the flood. And so it has a lot of principles. And also just like, you know, the Lord, it's the only book where the author shows up. So that's how I ended up pursuing God, because I wanted to know what love was. And in the middle of it, God showed me that love is him, that Jesus is love. And that, you know, when you know him, that everything else, you know, kind of comes after him. But human love is never going to be perfect. There's always going to be flaws. I mean, no person is ever going to be perfect. But yet, he wants us to love like he does to other people. You know, whatever type of love that may be. I mean, you know, there's obviously marital love, but then there's, you know, friendship love and different types of love. And he was just showing me all along that my greatest need was him. So I was very, very thankful that my curious personality, because it is, I have a curious personality, got me to where I should have been to begin with, which was the Bible and not some other, you know, religions that don't have a living God like Jesus is.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you found your beloved father had passed.
Yeah.
And not only that, what happened on the inside of you when you found numerous patients deceased?
Well, it was the same thing. You know, I just started really thinking about this. And so at that time I had become a Christian now, and I was on my knees a lot praying. You know, like there's a verse, I think in Psalms where it says, those who sow in tears will reap with sounds of joy. Well, or sounds or songs of joy, I was praying a lot for my patient's salvation. And that's when I felt, after that Kirk Cameron thing and Ray Comfort, that I'm supposed to share the gospel. So that's when I started sharing the gospel. Now, obviously, in a secular job, you can't do it as much as if I was just, you know, just walking in the park one day and decided to share the gospel with somebody. But I did try to share the gospel as I could. And the biggest thing was, it just made me realize that these patients, you know, I was seeing Hindus die and Muslims die and atheists die, and it was definitely bothering me. And I realized that, you know, God wants us to use our gifts and talents, and he wants us to use, as a Christian, my ability to share the gospel. So that's what I did. I started sharing the gospel. And, of course, praying for them, of course, you know.
Because
only God does the saving. Only God can really change a person's heart. We can say the most perfect things and everything, and it's still up to, you know, they have free will. So it's still up to the Lord and, I guess, the person's free will, that mystery tension in there.
All right, so you had an opportunity to come to know Christ. You had an opportunity to attend a fellowship, a place of worship, so that you could hear the word. And so you began to grow. And then you began to carry out the Great Commission. Was it rewarding for you when you began holding Bible studies with the homeless?
Yes, I actually did it through Cornerstone Manor. It's a division of Buffalo City Mission. So we were up there doing different devotionals and things to the women. And, yes, I very much enjoyed it. And I also helped or did things with the homeless at Niagara Gospel Rescue Mission. It's in Niagara Falls, a little bit with them, and then on mission trips, because I went to Costa Rica and Dominican Republic, and we would go in Juarez, Mexico, and we would go out and, you know, help the homeless. We would give them different foods and different toiletries, and then share the gospel with them, you know, with an interpreter. So, yeah, it was definitely rewarding. I loved it, and I still do. I love it. Yes.
Pamela, why did you write your new book, Bridge of Love, 30 True Stories of Faith in Action?
So my dad worked for a newspaper, the Tonawanda News, it's called, and he was a printer. He was always very smart, but he had to quit school when he was young to support the family. But he's always very intelligent, and my dad, I think, was the one that got me interested in writing. So I started writing, and I worked in high school. I was an editor for the Niagara County newspaper, and I just would write in college and things like that, and I took a creative writing class after I graduated, and I started going to writers groups in Buffalo, New York, and they're like, you should write articles and then, you know, get them published in magazines. So that's what I did. I started writing articles. It's not easy to get published in magazines. I mean, it's kind of like one of those professions like modeling, where some people will do really well at it, but most of them won't do as well. But that's what I ended up doing. I started writing articles, and my train of thought changed, because initially they were just kind of general articles about people I had met and things like that. But then when my faith was getting stronger, I started writing, you know, faith-based articles and articles on sharing the gospel and articles on just how God had worked in my life. So then I put them all together into a book, and all of these stories, it took me basically 15 years, because all those stories are true and they had to happen. So 20 of them are published in magazines, primarily Christian magazines, but the rest of them, you know, I put them all together, even my patients, because I would give out chapters and they're like, when are you going to put this into a book? When? I just didn't have the time, because between working so many hours at the hospital, taking care of my mom, the house, you know, just there was just so much to do. I just couldn't get it done. So when I unfortunately got sick in 2021, that's when I was able to publish it. So yeah, Bridge of Love, 30 True Stories of Faith in Action. It took me a while to write. I'm very glad that it's published, and I hope that it makes an impact on people, and I hope it inspires them and, you know, helps them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Pamela, you just mentioned a few moments ago about witnessing to individuals from Hindu or Muslim or Jehovah's Witness or agnostic backgrounds about their views, and you learn how they differ from Christianity, which represents a person, Christ. What was to you interesting about your communications with each person?
Well, the biggest thing I noticed is a lot of people wait for spiritual conversations to happen, And most of the time they won't happen unless you bring something up. I mean, if you're spending a lot of time with somebody, you could be spending time with a friend and nothing ever comes up about God. So you kind of have to swing the conversation from the natural to the spiritual, because that's what Jesus did. I mean, he started in the natural because we are natural, you know, human beings, and then he swung it to the spiritual. So when I was meeting these people, I realized they're not saved. They're not going to heaven. They believe in a false God or no God. I wanted to converse with them because not one person in the book of Acts came to Christ without somebody preaching the gospel to them. It wasn't just like, oh, here's some cookies and now you're going to be a believer in Jesus. No, they had to hear the word of God, because it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I would just, you know, swing the conversation into a spiritual conversation, like, oh, do you go to church somewhere, you know, or, oh, you know, what are your beliefs or something like that. And over the years, I've talked to many, many, many thousands of people that are of different faiths. And, you know, and some people will say they're Christian, but then you find out later that they are not really truly Christian. They'll say, I would say, okay, if you were, heaven forbid, to die today, where would you go? And some of them would say, well, I don't know. Or they would say, heaven. And I'd say, okay, based on what? And a lot of them would say, well, I'm a good person. Unfortunately, none of us are good. We're all sinners. You know, the entire earth is sinners. You know, for Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not 99% of us or, you know, 70%, but all of us have sinned ever since Adam and Eve sin entered the world. So the only way to not have to pay for that sin ourselves when we die is to have Jesus as your Savior, because he took the blood sacrifice on the cross so that I don't have to pay for my own sins. And, you know, when people understand that the gospel is about love, you know, some people will say, well, it sounds like such a narrow path. Well, it is a narrow path because, you know, and it says few find him. Because if I just said to you, hey, there's a cliff out there and you decide to walk off that cliff and not listen to me, that's your choice. He gives you free will. But there's plenty of evidence that the Bible is true, that Jesus, you know, there's over 500 observers at his resurrection. I mean, there's so much evidence of the Bible if people would just look and read the Bible. Because like I said, it's the only book where the author shows up. And that's the amazing part, because he loves you. You know, he doesn't want to send anyone to hell. It's just that the Bible says, for God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So truly, if people reject his beautiful gift of his life, his salvation, they are truly sending themselves, because they're going to be paying for, you know, all their sins themselves. But he gives us free will. We're not robots. He gives us free will, and that's right. Jesus.
That's right.
Yep.
And as we know, from the Great Commission standpoint, that, and I've learned and continue to learn over the years, that everything is ordained of God, meaning what I normally do is I'll ask God to, through the Holy Spirit, to prepare that person's ears and prepare the words that he would have me to say. Because oftentimes when we do it on our own and it doesn't turn out right, it may be because we're doing it and God has not ordained us to do it for that particular day or for that particular person.
Yes.
And you alluded to earlier as it relates to your missionary trips to and in Africa, Pamela, again with sensitivity. You are a survivor of stage 4 lung cancer and have never smoked. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I just had a lot of recent tests, though, because I was very stable. The first CAT scan after I started taking this target medicine, it's called Tagrisso, they said I had a genetic mutation. So I had flown out to Cleveland Clinic. They put me on, then I ended up at Roswell here in Buffalo, and they put me on this medicine, Tagrisso. And I had to have 40 lung drains that year because I had so much fluid in my right lung. So the medicine kept drying it up, plus the lung drains. And then I was really good, stable for about a year. And then in January, I get a CAT scan every 3 months. It was a little bit fuzzy as to if there was something going on. So then the next CAT scan, which I had in April, she decided there might be some change. And my oncologist said she wanted to do a PET scan, which is an all-body, all-over-body scan. to see if there's any hot spots in you. And that means that the sugar gets taken off and there could potentially be some cancer there. So they did that, and my left femur, which has no pain, lit up. So there was a spot on my left femur, and then my lung was also lit up or whatever. I'm not sure if it was exactly lit up, but something. So they did a biopsy last week on my lung, and they did a biopsy on my leg a couple days ago. And I got some of the results back, which I was not super happy about, because it showed that I had another mutation, which, you know, to be honest with you, I mean, I'm human. I mean, it's scary when you read results. It's scary, you know, and you cry out to God, and you're crying out, and you're asking him, the Lord, to manifest the healing, because, you know, I don't think God tells us to ignore things. You know, I'm not going to, if my blood pressure is super high or something, I'm not going to just ignore it. But at the same time, I know that God is a healer, and that he can heal, and that he will heal, and that he loves me. He healed me before of Crohn's disease and colitis. The doctors couldn't believe it. They couldn't even find it. And that was years ago. But I had it for many years, and it was very, very painful. And at that time, I wanted to die. Like, I was like, not that I would commit suicide, but I was like, okay, I'm ready to go to heaven. This is way too much pain. I was in pain constantly. But the doctors would say, well, you're going to have it the rest of your life. And I would always say, well, I respect you as a doctor, but if the good Lord wants to give me a miracle, I'm taking it. And he gave me the miracle, and I have been clear ever since, and not even remission. They can't find it. So this is obviously my prayer for this whole situation too, that the good Lord would recognize that I have my mom that I take care of, and, you know, we hire aides, but I'm still responsible for her, and I really love sharing the gospel. And no, he doesn't need me to do this. There's plenty of other people out there, but my prayer is that he would manifest this, and that I would live a very, very, very long life, because the Bible says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know,
that's right.
And also, yes, and my favorite verses is Psalm 118:17, which is, I will live and not die and declare the deeds of the Lord. That's one of my favorite verses, because his word is true. I know it. Sometimes he uses medicine. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes, like as a physical therapist, sometimes he uses therapy on people. So I'm not
That's
sure.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
And you talked about the miraculous healing that you just shared in your book. And you talked about prayer and acting in faith. And then, like you just shared, and you're doing in shoe leather, where God expects us to use sanctified common sense with that human doctor that he's blessed with knowledge, whether that doctor recognizes it or not, if they are a believer in the right relationship with God. And then you talked about your innate human feeling as relates to wanting to go home, heaven-wise. It reminded me. You know, my beloved mom passed some months ago, but before that, she had mentioned we were talking around that topic, and on that particular day, you know, there was discouragement that would occur with all of us humans, but I shared with her about the story of a little young man known as Will, and on that particular day, the pastor was asking his congregation who all wanted to go to heaven. And so everybody raised their hand except this young man named Will. And so the pastor took note of it. And so he posed the question again, same response. He did it a third time, same response. But then he decided to ask Will a question. Will, don't you want to go to heaven? Will said, yes, but I thought maybe you were talking about going tonight. So Will wanted to go, but not right then. And like you
right.
just so shared. And that's the humanity and the reality of all. But the good part is the fact of knowing as a believer, having accepted Christ by faith, recognizing who you are in him, a sinner in need of a Savior, that whenever he calls any of our name, you know we are heaven bound, ready to get that new translated body. Pamela, I like was and is, you're making it clear. You're making it clear for the listener, and I know you're making it clear for the readers to go to God in prayer and trust by faith, but also through shoe leather actions of going to a down here on earth doctor that God, again, blessed with medical knowledge for their assistance. I understand that your new book provides faith-filled stories that encourages and inspires. What other spiritual way does it help the reader?
Well, I think, like I said, I think it helps to the person to understand that a normal, well, maybe I'm not so normal, I'm just kidding you, but maybe just an everyday person, mm-hmm. you can be anywhere and you can share the gospel in a bank, on a trip, in at work, anywhere. And people need to know Jesus. There's so many people out there. You could be hit by a bus the next day. You know, so many people die just without warning. And we need to talk to them about the good news and not to wait forever because there's an urgency, you know. And like you said, but their timing has to be right too. You know, you pray about it and sometimes God will direct you a certain way. Like I remember one time I was going to go to a writer's group and I literally felt like, no, he wanted me to ask this one aide to come to church that wasn't working that day. And I thought, she's not going to come to church. Well, I thought, okay, I'm just going to obey you. So I texted her and I said, hey, would you like to go to church today? Meet me at church. She said, sure. She ended up praying to receive Christ that day. Mm-hmm. And that was just so amazing because my plans were not his plans.
That's
my
right.
plans were, yeah, my plans were I'm going to go to this writer's group meeting at this one coffee house in South Buffalo. And his plans were, no, you're not. He wanted me to do something different. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I obeyed him because, again, the blessings flow, and again, you may not always see the blessing right away, but he really does make a difference in your life through mm-hmm. prayer, Bible reading, spending time with other believers, definitely church, you know. So I'm just trying to encourage and inspire others
mm-hmm.
that
there's
right. things I mess up with too. I mean, it's not all perfection. Mm-hmm. You know, there's many times that I've messed up or I thought I did things wrong and, you know, but you just keep going. You just have to keep going because,
right.
you know, I'm not perfect and
right.
I'm perfected in Christ. He makes us righteous in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But until heaven, I will never be like perfect. So
that's
I try
right.
to make the best decision I can. Yeah.
Well, you know, as you know, one day when you arrive in heaven, you'll see the fruits of your labor. You know, there are going to be people not in heaven that thought just should be there and people there that others thought should not be there. But one day
right.
you'll see the fruits of your labor. You highlight
yeah.
the Hell Gate Bridge in New York City on your book cover, but also from a protection example. How does your book protect people from the dangerous waters?
So my entire life I've loved bridges. And I just always liked bridges. I mean, I even went to Pittsburgh one time just for the bridges. And I remember thinking to myself, when I started writing this book, I thought I would really like to do, I often do the bridge illustration of sharing the gospel where Jesus is the connector between God the Father and humans by his sacrifice on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, wow, you know, I would really like to do something with a bridge on the cover to reflect that, you know, that he is the bridge. Well, the woman that did my cover design, Kara Starcher, who's really wonderful, she kept asking me, well, what kind of bridge do you want? Do you want a wooden bridge? Do you want a metal bridge, an older bridge? She must have sent me several different bridges, and it just wasn't hitting me. And then I started looking up Google images online, and I must have went through so many bridges. I probably looked at 1,000 images, and I said, all right, that's it. I give up. I said, I just give up because I don't know what bridge I'm supposed to pick. So I said, all right, Lord, if you want me to pick a bridge for this cover, you got to show me the bridge. And I'm not usually that forthright, but I just couldn't make up my mind. So the next day, I think it was the next day, I was in the living room and my mom was sitting there in her chair and then the aide was there and they had this TV program on that which I'm not really crazy about. So I said, let's watch the news. So I flipped the news and all of a sudden there's this guy speaking and he's from New York City or talking about a story in New York City. And all I saw was a bridge in the background. He wasn't talking about the bridge, but I knew that the storyline, like 15 seconds, was on New York City. And immediately it just kind of leapt out of my mouth. That is the bridge I want for my book. And I thought, wow. So the story ends, 15-second story. How am I going to find this bridge? So I Google online, I internet search, and I put bridges New York City. And there it comes up right away, Hellgate Bridge. And I thought, wow, that is really creepy. Like Hellgate Bridge, that's a creepy name. And so I was telling my friend Anna, She's like, she is my best friend. I said, Anna, I go, why, if that's from God, why would he give me a name called Hellgate Bridge? That's like creepy. And she said, Pam, did you look up the history of Hellgate Bridge? It saves people from the treacherous waters below. And isn't that what Jesus does? He saves us from our sins. She goes, so it's a good thing. And I said, you know what? You're completely right. So that's why that bridge is on the cover, because it's a replica of Hellgate Bridge.
And God is using you to help people to avoid going through the hell bridge that he's talking about. So
yes.
God has blessed you to be on many radio shows, podcasts, and book signings. Pam, how and where can listeners purchase your book?
Yeah, so it's definitely on Amazon. So Bridge of Love, 30 True Stories of Faith in Action. You can find it on Amazon online, Walmart online, Barnes & Noble online, Books a Million online, and I have an ebook too. So, you know, if you go to any of those links, you'll see the link for the ebook. Locally, if you live in the Buffalo or Niagara Falls, Western New York area, it's at a bunch of different local stores. I have a Facebook site. It's called, it's Pam Walk. So not Pamela, but Pam. I also have a book launch site. It's called Pamela or Pam's Book Launch, just Pam, Pam's Book Launch. But like I said, most people get, if you're going to buy online, probably Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, or Books a Million. So, and my last name is spelled W-A-L-C-K. So it's Pamela W-A-L-C-K. It's German, so that's why they put the C in. Years ago, many years ago, it's in our family tree.
Hey, that's the lineage. Tell us about your blog and how listeners can read it.
Yeah, I do have a blog. It's on my Facebook page. Again, it's Pam, P-A-M, W-A-L-C-K, and you can just go to my Facebook site, and you can see the blog. It's called Joy Luke. Wait a minute. I've been writing on it, but I've been actually working on a second book now.
Hey,
so
congratulations.
That is, yeah, I actually have so many stories that when I started writing the first one, and I just didn't have time to get it published, I just kept writing articles. So then I thought, well, I'll put those together into a second book one day. So it's called joyluke157.wordpress.com. So Joy Luke, that's one word, 157, and that stands for luke157.wordpress.com. So, and that's the parable of the lost sheep, how Jesus left, you know, everything to find the lost sheep. That's what Luke 15:7 is. So that's my blog, yes. I did that before my book. Mm-hmm.
All right. Hopefully when you finish your second one, you'll come back on and talk about it.
Oh, I would love to, Gary. Thank you. Yes.
Why
love
do you
to,
love
I hope...
to? Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, no. You're going
no,
to
I wasn't...
say something. No, go ahead.
No.
you sure?
No. Yeah, I'm positive.
Okay. Pamela, why do you love to write, inspiring, and sharing the gospel?
I just want to help people, I guess, and it helps me, too. Because when I write things, it actually, it's kind of a quiet activity for me. And like I said, I'm more of an extrovert. It's hard when I'm not working as a PT, because I'm used to being around so many people. And now that I've been home because of my medical things that I've been going through, it's been more difficult. So I just like to write. I love doing podcasts and interviews and all that. And I just want to inspire people to know the Lord and to know him, you know, just better and better. Be discipled. That's what he says. Go and make disciples of all nations. So just to know him and to make him known.
And just think, as you were sharing with all of us, how you had that aspiration and you kind of walked into the world of modeling, but you didn't want the attention as you continue to spiritually grow to be on you. You wanted to be
right.
on the people that God is blessing you to interact with. Are you still hitting the gym?
You know what? I was until I had this lung drain and then the bone biopsy. So I still have a little bit of a limp right now because it was just done a couple days ago. So as soon as that starts getting better, I love to walk. I love to, especially in the summer, I like to walk outside even. But yeah, I do. I just haven't done it in a little bit now just because of these things that have been going on lately.
Mm-hmm.
But I plan to hopefully again soon, yes.
Any final words for the listeners? Excuse me.
No, I don't think so. I just hope that, you know, read the Bible, go find a good Bible-believing church, and you know, try to stay in the Word, the Bible, every day if possible, and He will show you things for your life that you wouldn't have dreamed of, you know, like great things, not just like go buy a sweater. He's going to show you maybe, like me, go to Africa. You know, I never wanted to go on a missions trip. And when I had gone to Dallas Theological, all these people had gone on mission trips, and I thought, I don't need to go on a missions trip. I'm always talking to people in the U.S. And then one day, God put it in my heart to go on a missions trip, and I went, and I ended up going to Zambia, Africa, and it was the best trip of my life. And now I've gone on seven or eight trips, and, you know, I that's what I mean. He changes your desires. So I went from not wanting to go on a missions trip to wanting to go, and now I, you know, except for COVID when all that happened, you know, it's just so eye-opening to see how you can help affect the world and not just like, vacations are nice too. I'm not saying vacations are not nice, but it's just a different, it's a deeper kind of a relationship with different people when you're doing a ministry type trip. So,
that's right.
And I do continue to help a ministry over there in Africa. It's called Banu Bisu Feeding Ministry and Lafatko School. It's a Christian ministry over there that they, the three women, Mutina Mwanda and two other women, started in Zambia, in Kabwe. They saw a couple kids playing in the dirt, and they don't have a lot of orphanages over there at all. So they started a school, and now we're up to like 350 kids. So,
praise God.
Yeah.
Praise
I know,
God. You know,
it's really amazing.
We have listeners from Zambia, but and of course abroad, but also there as well. And when you get a chance, send me the information, and I'll invite them to come on to share what God is doing through them and with the students or the young people that God is bringing to them for Him.
Pamela, yeah, I will.
Pamela Walk, author, going to hopefully have her new book started soon. But author of a new book, Bridge of Love, 30 True Stories of Faith in Action. Pamela, thank you for coming on Challenges of Faith radio program. And as God so lead, come back anytime you want to and provide us the update.
Thank you, Gary. I truly appreciate it.
Hey,
God
it's an honor
you.
Having you on. Thank you. It's an honor having you on. And may God continue to strengthen you, heal you, or whatever is occurring in inside your body. And may He also continue to watch over and protect not only you, but your mom as well.
Yes.
Listeners,
yes.
Thank you for tuning in to Challenges of Faith radio program today. And come back anytime and every time so you can hear from those individuals that God is blessing us to have on to tell their sojourn of where they came from, where they are, and where He's leading them. Because what they're talking about, you know, is also occurring in your own life. Thank you.